Well, if you brought your Bibles here with you this morning, I want you, if you would, to turn to the book of Titus in the New Testament, Titus chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. I believe we have the wrong scripture on there on the app, and we will repair that here after this service. But Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to be reading out of the ESV version here this morning. I love the entire third chapter of Titus. It's the whole chapter is really amazing. I'm telling you what, it's just good stuff. I'm sorry, I'm just being mind blown right now by what I'm reading right here on the scripture. I'm really looking forward to this talk here today in this fifth installment in the Real Talk series. And I believe this scripture is a perfect launching point to the subject of what we're going to be dealing with today. And it says this, in verse 1 it says, starts off by saying, remind them. Remind them. I think it's important that we be reminded that we need to remind ourselves of certain things. God knows this. Scripture often echoes this, that we need to remember certain things. And I want to go right to verse 2, and it says this, remind them of this, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Everybody say the words, all people. All people, for we ourselves were once foolish. Anybody? At one point, amen. Disobedient, led astray, were slaves to various passions and pleasures. We were once passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, God, that it is a guiding point, a compass for our lives. And God, as we pray weekly, we pray the power and truth behind your word would come to life, God, literally inside of our lives as we go from this place today, striving to live out what you have shown us. God, guide my words, I pray. Guide every word that is spoken from this platform that it may be an echo of what you're saying to us, your people, here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you, if you would, to take your attention to the screens for this video clip.
A woman was gossiping with a friend about a man she hardly knew. I know none of you have ever done this. That night she had a dream. A great hand appeared over her and pointed down at her. She was immediately seized with an overwhelming sense of guilt. The next day she went to confession. She got the old parish priest, Father O'Rourke. She told him the whole thing. "Is gossiping a sin?" she asked the old man. "Was that the hand of God Almighty pointing a finger at me? Should I be asking your absolution, Father? Tell me, have I done something wrong?"
"Yes,"
Father O'Rourke answered her.
"Yes, you ignorant, badly brought up female. You've borne false witness against your neighbor. You've played fast and loose with his reputation, and you should be heartily ashamed."
So, the woman said she was sorry and asked for forgiveness.
"Not so fast,"
says O'Rourke.
"I want you to go home, take a pillar upon your roof, cut it open with a knife, and return here to me."
So the woman went home, took a pillow off her bed, a knife from the drawer, went up the fire escape to her roof, and stabbed the pillow. Then she went back to the old parish priest as instructed.
"Did you gut the pillow with a knife?"
he says.
"Yes, Father." "And what was the result?" "Feathers," she said.
"Feathers," he repeated.
"Feathers everywhere, Father. Now, I want you to go back and gather up every last feather that flew out on the wind. Well, she said, it can't be done. I don't know where they went. The wind took them all over. And that, said Father O'Rourke, is gossip.
That's an intense clip, isn't it? I'm like, my goodness, that is intense right there. Isn't that feathers point is so absolutely incredible. Today, I want to talk on the subject of gossip. You know, off of the heels of our talk last weekend, wherein we discussed and illustrated the best we possibly could the lip sync battle, and congratulations to J.J. Parks, that is taking place in our lives. You know, this war that is taking place between the influence for our culture, for the influence in our culture, for us to sync up our mouths with its message, you know, of hopelessness and messages of slander and messages of victimization and woe is me and messages of bitterness and depression and you name it, you know, messages that are not good and don't produce an ounce of fruit in our lives. Between that and the influence that we find in Scripture for us to sync up our mouths with His message of hope, and His message of healing, His message of happy friends. And, you know, it's important that we understand that our mouths are a very important tool in our lives. Someone once said, be careful with your words, because once they are said, they can only be forgiven. They cannot be forgotten. And if there is an area that I feel in prayer and have felt for the last 4 months in preparing for this talk right here that needs to be highlighted for us to be aware of, it would be gossip. Dr. Jim Edelman, he's a deacon here at this church along with his wife. They've got about 30 years of pastoral ministry experience. And man, I'm telling you, we had a really great talk yesterday just going in deep, sub-level in Scripture as he has the acute ability to do. And I had kind of asked him, what's your opinion on the subject of gossip in Scripture? And I love what he said, because I've done a big Bible study on this. He says, you know, one of the top five killers of the church, he goes, I would put it at about number two. One of the top two things that kill a local church. Romans chapter 1 puts gossip in the same category as murder. Friends, it's just something that does damage that most people can never seem to repair. To ensure that we know that God's very passionate heart is for you and I to never sync up our mouths with the message of gossip. And so today, I want to, as quickly and as effectively as I can, answer three questions. Number one, what is gossip? Number two, what or how do I not gossip? And number three, what do I do if I have gossiped? So let's dig into number one. What is gossip? I don't think that it's a strange concept by any means to anyone in this room. The raw definition of gossip is this. You can find this on Google. It parallels with Scripture. You can find this in any dictionary. The casual or unconstrained conversation. A casual or unconstrained conversation or report about other people, typically involving details that are negative in light. Friends, there is great influence to gossip. I mean, look all around you. In a world that is as dark as it already is, and with all the negative things that happen in our lives, and many of those negative things are brought on by people that we have in our lives. And so with that, it's really easy to gossip. It's really easy to engage in unconstrained conversation about other people involving details that are negative and light. I mean, gossip has been around forever, but I believe it's more rampant today than ever before in the history of humanity because we live in a different day and age. I mean, with internet now and social media alone, which both seem to be conforming, should I say reconforming, communication within our culture to train and condition us that if we have a problem with an individual, instead of talking to them, we are instead influenced to talk about them. We are influenced not to talk to them because that would be confrontational. And we don't like that. So instead, it feels better and it's much easier to talk about them. You know, if you look to Scripture, man, there's a lot of damage. And this is a series that could probably be 52 weeks in length just on this subject with all that Scripture points out on the subject of gossip. But what you see is damage. You see a lot of damage that accompanies gossip, damage that takes place when one talks negative. Remember, our words have power from last week. Of another person outside of the presence of the person that's being talked about. And Scripture exposes and uncovers tremendous truths to gossip. One of those being that gossip exposes our intent to hold on to unforgiveness. Gossip exposes our intent to walk in unforgiveness. It literally pulls the blanket back on it. And friends, can I tell you, I don't think this is any strange concept as well if you've been a part of Journey Church for any amount of time. Unforgiveness is a disease that is extremely dangerous to your life. Unforgiveness is a dangerous disease to anybody, and gossip allows you to hold on to that. You see, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 9, Solomon said something so incredibly genius on this subject when he said, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter," ladies, don't take yourself out of the Scripture. "She who repeats a matter, they who repeat a matter," Scripture says, "separates close friends." You see, in Scripture, you know, you see it, and virtually throughout all of, I'd say almost every page inside of the books of the New Testament, the heart of God for reconciliation and for love and healing to be constantly taking place, gluing us together as people. And if you were just to stare at this Scripture behind me, you see two types of people. The first one being the one who covers the offense. What does that mean? That means when somebody has wronged me, anybody been wronged before in the room? I'd say everybody in this room has been wronged repeatedly. Whoever gets wronged, when we get wronged, Scripture says if you are seeking love, which God commands us to live love out loud, if you are seeking to be a follower of Christ, to follow the commands of Scripture, get the heart of God for unity in the church, for unity in this world, it says when you receive an offense, cover it up. That means you don't bring it up. You put it out of sight. You put it out of mind. You are not going to live with that thing out in the open anymore. If you are covering it up, you're seeking love. You're following that trail that God has paved for us with His own life for us to walk on. You have the one who covers the offense, and the second category is the one who repeats it. How many have ever been in category number two? I know I have. Right? Where you just don't let it go. Right? You just don't let it go. Where somebody's hurt you, and you can't help but hold on to it. You know, there's only one reason that the matter would need to be repeated and repeated and repeated, and it's that it hasn't been let go of. It hasn't been forgiven. And God calls us to forgive, to cover, meaning don't repeat the matter. Gossip exposes our intent to walk in unforgiveness. Number two, another thing that you see that about gossip that allows us to define what it is gossip ruins our spiritual credibility. James chapter 1 verse 26, if anyone thinks he is religious, and this isn't a bad religious, this is a good one. If anybody thinks that they are committed to the cause of Christ and does not bridle his tongue, this person's religion, Scripture says, is worthless. Why is that? Because it's hard to trust someone who gossips. Like the old saying goes, whoever gossips to you is just as likely to gossip about you. It ruins our spiritual credibility. I've seen this time and time again, and it is truly disheartening when you see someone's credibility brought down and ruined. And another thing that we see on gossip is gossip keeps sin alive. Gossip keeps sin alive, which again ties into the scripture we just read in Proverbs. You know, by repeating the matter, by continually bringing it up, whether in your mind or with your mouth, friends, what we do when we gossip is we are keeping that offense. We are keeping that sin. We are resuscitating that sin and allowing it to continue to have life and breath in our lives, friends. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. I don't have this for you on the screen, but in the Good News translation of Scripture, I absolutely love this. Listen to this. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, quarreling stops. Charcoal keeps the embers glowing. Wood keeps the fire burning, and troublemakers keep arguments alive. Scripture says this, gossip is so tasty, how we love to swallow it. Friends, gossip is nothing more than an echo of the whispers and defeat and division of our enemy. Gossip is nothing more than an echo of the whispers of defeat and division. Gossip doesn't draw things together, friends. Gossip pulls things apart. I've seen gossip work damage on political levels. I'm sure you've seen it too. I've seen gossip destroy marriages. I've seen gossip deeply injure relationships between parents and children. I've seen gossip result in employees losing their jobs. I've seen gossip destroy relationships within the Church of Jesus. I've seen gossip flat out destroy in its path. Gossip is nothing more than the whispers of defeat and division. We've all been at one time or another the subject of gossip, and what it does to you, friends, is it brings you feelings of defeat, doesn't it? It divides, it stops you. It often halts your life's progress when you hear somebody said something about you. There's this show that I used to watch that I consider one of the greatest shows on television when it was there. It was called Lost. Even though it was the most confusing show on the planet, I loved it. Any Lost fans, anybody watch Lost? Like, man, it was one of those things where my wife was on board with me until season 4. And then she's like, I'm done. I can't even watch this stupid stuff. And I'm like, I'm staying to the end, you know. But it was one of those things, you know, where these guys crash on this desert island, and the island was just this mysterious place where all this freaky stuff happened. And, you know, I imagine just the writers want to create drama, but it really doesn't make sense in real life that these castaways would by themselves just walk out into the woods at night. You know, and they would walk out literally into the woods at night, and at some point in the journey, they would hear this sound. You'd just be walking all of a sudden. You imagine just hearing this right in the woods in a desert island. What? What? And all of a sudden, they're not moving anymore. They're not going from point A to point B. They have just engaged in a stopping point. And they've looked around, and then it all of me led to them dying. So, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, you hear the whispers, you're dead, man. You're not going to live. Like, it stopped them dead in their tracks, friends. Gossip so often kills our progress. It is such a dangerous element to our lives that we must run from, friends. That's what gossip is. Let's look at number two real quick. How do I not gossip? The answer is extremely simple. God says, talk to them, not about them. Listen, if someone has wounded you, you need to know this. Wounds ooze. They leak. I know it's disgusting, but just follow along. It's true. Wounds ooze. And emotional wounds ooze. They ooze frustration. They ooze anger. If you've been hurt, how many know? They leak pain. They leak hurt, friends. It hurts to be wounded. And sometimes the greatest distraction we can experience from the pain we are experiencing is to scream. Is to just let out a, ah, you know? I scream more manly than that, but... It's just to let one of those out, right? Sometimes the greatest distraction we can experience from our pain is to give voice to the pain that we have just experienced by talking about it, friends. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't vent our frustrations, but it's the route that we vent our frustrations that often lead to gossip, thus leading us into sin. So what do? Take your frustrations to God. Take your to prayer. Let him hear it. Take it to Jesus. Take your hurt to him instead of taking it to somebody else, because so often that somebody else doesn't possess the power within their own abilities to fix your situation. Matter of fact, all you've done is drag them into it with you. And I'm here to tell you, it's tough to handle somebody else's pain. And I don't know if we were meant to carry the load of pain like we so often unload on each other. Friends, take it to Jesus, because he has the ability to handle and take on any amount of frustration you may have. He has the ability to take on any amount of anger you bring him. And don't worry about what you're doing to God, friends. You're not robbing him of his peace. You're not robbing him of his joy. You're not bringing down his day. He went to the cross to bear our burdens, friends, to illustrate and expose that he is here for us, not just in the good times, but the bad times too. He is here to take on your hurt and your screams and your frustrations so that he can help you with them, friends. You're not going to worry about ruining his peace, because he's the source of all peace. You're not going to worry about robbing him of his joy, because he is joy, friends. He is everything. He is our Lord, our Savior, the source of all strength. And with him, what you can do is often get your mind right. You can often get your heart right. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to him and screamed. Gone to him and just unloaded the frustrations that I experience in my life, the hurts that I experience in my life. I've learned to take it to him instead of other people. Because so often I walk out with my mind right, with my heart right, and then I'm ready to obey his voice. That spoken scripture found in Matthew 18:15, wherein Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, if your brother hurts you, if your brother wounds you, can I get a witness in this house with anybody that's ever had a brother or a sister, family in Christ, friend, neighbor, co-worker, anybody here sin against them? Anybody in the room here today, you've had someone sin against you, you've had someone hurt you, right? This is what Jesus says. Go and tell him his fault. It doesn't say go and tell them his fault. It says go and tell him his fault. And it says, between you and him. And what's the next word say? Alone. You see, what that's saying is if I have a soured experience with Joe, right? If I have a, and I fully understand your name is Troy, but for the sake of this message, if I have a soured experience with Joe, Joe hurt me. Joe wounded me. Thank you, Joe. Joe sinned against me. If I have a soured experience, now every hand would go up if we were on the, if anybody has ever sinned against you. Anybody, if I have a soured experience with Joe, Jesus says, my response, my job is to take that hurt, what? And go to Joe. Somebody shout, go to Joe. Go to Joe. That's why you're Joe. It rhymes. It's awesome, right? Yep. My job is to go to Joe. My job is to what? Go to Joe. But here's what we so often do. I don't go to Joe. I go to Fred. And I tell Fred about Joe and what Joe did to me and what Joe did to hurt me. And what I do, let's just allow this green piece of paper to illustrate the pain, the yuck, right? The Mr. Yuck thing, right? Just the wounds, the ooze that comes out of my hurt and my pain is what I've done. If I've had a soured experience with Joe, I don't go to Joe, I go to Fred. And I say what Joe's done and I say what Joe did. And you know what now I've done? Is I've given him the ability now. Here, why don't you go on and just hand this out to certain people. What I've done now is I've given Fred the ability to do what? What is he doing? He's spreading my hurt and my pain. He's spreading my wounds. He's spreading the ooze of my wounds. And I just don't go to Fred. I'll talk to a couple other people about what Joe did inside of my life, and I'll even give them some. Go on, you can go on. I'm telling you, Joe really messed with me, man. He hurt me. You know, if you feel like you need to tell anybody, even if you need to pray for him, amen. I mean, just talk about it. You know what I'm saying? And so what I've done now, listen to me. What I have just done is I have spread my hurt and my pain and my wounds and my frustration and that I have on what Joe did for my life, and I have given other people the ability to spread my hurt. Friends, if you've been given a green piece of paper, hold it up and look around you and watch how fast someone's hurt and pain can be spread around in the body of Christ. You see, what I've done is I've spread the disease of gossip. I've taken the hurt I have. I've taken the soured experience I have had with Joe. I've taken the frustration, the malice, the anger, the you name it, all the stuff that accompanies hurt, that's all mixed up and melted together in the kettle of my heart, and I've poured it out on other people that had nothing to do with what Joe did in my life. Through what I've done, I have been instrumental in spreading a disease throughout the body of Christ that Jesus Christ himself came and gave his life for. I've done that. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 says this, a dishonest man spreads strife. Ladies, don't disqualify yourself. I know a lot of times it's just these masculine terms that are used in Scripture. But a dishonest person, a dishonest woman, spreads strife. And a whisperer separates close friends. You see, what happens is when what I have poured out gets back around to Joe, because it inevitably will get back around to Joe. How many know what I'm talking about? Joe is eventually going to hear about what I've done. What is Joe supposed to do now? Right? What is Joe supposed to do? He hurt me. But who hasn't hurt anybody, right? Like, it's just like I've demonized Joe. So what happens is with Joe, come here, Joe. You know, what happens with Joe is what is Joe supposed to do when Joe walks in the church the next week now, after what I've just did, right? Because let's do this here. Like, come on out here, Joe. It's what happens is, get ready, Darren, let's play this again. As soon as Joe walks in the church, this is what Joe hears. You may hear praise and worship. You may be hearing, oh, your love is good or whatever, but this is what Joe's hearing. Joe's not hearing praise and worship. Joe's not hearing a message. Joe's not hearing the announcements. Joe is hearing the whispers of defeat and division about his life, friends, that he did to one person, but now what that one person went and did is multiplied the offense. What is Joe supposed to do now that I have spread my junk out to many others? How many know that should not be the sounds played in the ears of one walking into the house of God? How many know that shouldn't be the sounds that walk into the ears of someone walking into the family of Jesus? We shouldn't be hearing that walking into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Titus chapter 3 and verse 1 says, remind them to speak evil of what? No one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people, even the ones that hurt you, even the ones that wounded you. For we ourselves were once foolish. For we ourselves were once disobedient. For we ourselves were once led astray. For we ourselves were slaves to various passions and various, you know, desires. We were once ourselves passing our days with malice and envy, hated by others. That means Joe's not the only one jacked up. I am too. So what makes me think that I can be holy enough to start to downplay him and lift me up, friends? This isn't a thing where the church should be this hierarchy of who's important. We're all the family of God. This is what this saying, friends. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us from all that stuff. We need to be people of honor. When somebody walks into the house of God, they need to hear honor. They don't need to hear defeat. They need to hear victory. They don't need to hear defeat. Let's be people that forgive and show it with our speech. Let's be people that don't hold on to sins of other people. Let's be people that speak blessing. Let's be the church that Jesus gave his life for and represent our Savior in a way that brings unity and not discord. Let's eradicate gossip from the atmosphere of our lives. My God, somebody say a good amen. That's good preaching right there. Because I tell you this, Joe walks in and they hear whispers, Joe's gone. Who wants to be in an atmosphere? Hold up the green papers. Where this stuff, the feathers, have been spread by the winds of life. Thank you. How do I not gossip? Go to them. Talk to them, not about them. Lastly, number 3. What do I do if I have gossiped? Man, I search deep and wide scripture for like this incredible deep point that will just make everybody go, oh man, that is awesome. But here's the answer. Fix it. Fix it. I'm telling you, fix it. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 19. This is why we need to fix it. Says, there are 6 things that the Lord hates. 7 that are an abomination to him. And the list goes. And at the very bottom, the last, but certainly not the least, is the one who sows discord among the brothers. The one who sows discord within the family of God. The one who sows division. The one who gossips. Friends, gossip is dangerous, friends. And here's why. Because we see gossip viewed and categorized In Acts chapter 17, I don't have the scripture for you on the screen, but read the chapter when you ever get some time. But in Acts chapter 17, Paul uses this term babbler in describing about people that just go and share things. And he calls him a babbler. Now, I was like, well, what does that word mean? You know, I had no idea what the word babbler even meant. I just thought it was like babble. I don't know. So I'm like, what does it mean? The Greek word for this word, the word that literally the author wrote is the word spermologos, which is a weird word, I know. Like, it's weird, but the word literally means seed picker. It means seed picker. And I did a study on that, and it's speaking particularly of crows. Crows were so often called seed pickers. This is what these guys were. And crows, you know, were the birds that are the birds that fly down and they pick up seeds and grain in the fields. Crows were often considered and still are considered halters and destroyers of the harvest. By taking a seed away from the soil, it cannot produce anything in the soil. And the parallel here is that when you allow gossip into your ears, Scripture parallels it with allowing the enemy to come in and begin picking up the seeds of what God is wanting to do in your life, friends. It's picking up the seeds of God's promise. This is why I've seen gossip destroy people's dreams, and they had nothing to do with it, but all they did was hear it. And when they heard it, friends, they began. We don't see in the spiritual realm, but I'm telling you, there is a dangerous thing that's being poured out when we allow the steam of gossip to come out of our mouths, when we allow the disease of gossip to come out of our mouths and into our ears, friends. There is nothing good that follows. Scripture calls it seed picking, dream destroying sin. And know that when you gossip, that is the gate that you're opening up in the life of somebody else. So before you let the whisper come out of your mouth, before I let the whisper come out of my mouth, let's stop and realize the damage that we could possibly be doing to the dream of the one that we're about to speak to the seeds of what God has been doing in their life. That means we are interrupting His work, His ways. We're slapping His hand away so that we can have a little work in their life too. So that I can just, all in the name of spreading my hurt, all in the name of spreading my pain. That's scary stuff right there. Because I believe that's one of the reasons we see Jesus saying in Scripture, and we read this last weekend, when Jesus said, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So in closing, I want to ask Mary if she would to come. In closing, what do I do if I've gossiped, friend? If you have gossiped, then apologize to them. Simply apologize to them and to the people that you gossiped about them to. And then, patiently wait in love and respect for them to get through the emotions that your hurtful words created. Just wait. I've met people that have done that. I gossiped about them, they said, I gossiped, and, well, you need to go fix that. Go talk to them. Okay, I will. Hey, I'm sorry I gossiped about you. And then the person will go, okay. And they'll just walk up. See, now they're unforgiving. They're not over it. Hey, wait, just wait. Just wait. Wounds don't heal in a minute, do they? Wounds take time to heal. And healing hurts. You got to sift through a lot of things. I don't think we think that about healing, that healing hurts. But healing hurts. Hurts to heal sometimes. Patiently wait in love and respect for them to get through the emotions of your hurtful words. Praying for them along the way. Go to them. Tell them you're sorry for what you did. And say, I know my words caused you hurt. And I'll be praying for you. Praying for you to be able to get through the emotions that I have created in your life. Just know I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with that apology, friends. If there's anybody in this world that should understand the need for this message to be lived out, it should be the church. It should be the bride of Christ. It should be those of us that are Christians that have been tasked to be representatives of Christ. Did you hear what I just said? Representatives of Christ and his love and his mercy and his grace to the world that he lived and died for. Why? Because we've been tasked with moving the freedom of God forward in this world and not backwards. I don't know if you knew this, but I just learned this about our soldiers. And I think this weekend is so fitting to share this, but do you have a picture of that soldier? You know, on some, this isn't on all soldiers, but especially soldiers that wear the flag patch on their right arm, on their right shoulder. I don't know if you notice what seems different or perceptionally off about that flag, but it's backwards. Because when we look at a flag, the stars should be on the left and the stripes extending out toward the right. But on the arm of a soldier who wears it on the right shoulder, the flag is backwards. It looks backwards. And Danny was having this conversation. He showed me this at Chubby's while I was eating a salad. And he was saying, he said, did you know this? And I was like, what? And I said, I didn't know that. And he said, because much like a flag that waves or is brought in battle, he said that the flag always needs to be representing forward progress. So on any moving object, the flag needs to be shown and flown in a way that completely demonstrates forward progress, like somebody waving it into battle. Isn't that interesting? I just thought that was really powerful. How meticulous and detailed our nation's military is on the subject of forward progress. That the symbol of freedom is to even be waved in the direction on if it's going to be represented or put on anything that is moving. And friends, we are the body of Christ, and we've been tasked with moving freedom forward. And so move freedom forward by fixing damage that has been done. It's so easy just to walk into this guised mindset that I'm just going to forgive myself for what I did. It's important to forgive yourself for what you did, but fix what you've done. Because the damage, friends, can only be titled as disease. And so speak honor this week, friends. I want to ask our leaders if they would to come, our communion teams. Thank you, Joe, for your illustrated help.